double helpings, and then wouldn't let them pay a penny. If Frank was walking down the street with his father, people in cars would beep their horns, beep beep, and smile and wave. The boy always felt a burst of pride whenever that happened. Frank even got marked up on a test by his maths teacher after the man got a photo taken with his father at parents' evening. No one was a bigger fan of Dad than his own son. The boy worshipped his father. He was a hero to him. Frank longed to be just like his dad one day, a champion race car driver. His dream was to one day drive Queenie. As you might expect, father and son looked alike. Both were short and round, with sticky out ears. The boy looked like someone had put his dad into a shrinking machine. Of all the children at his school, Frank knew he was never going to be the tallest, or the handsomest, or the strongest, or the cleverest, or the funniest. But he had seen the magic and wonder his father could create with his skill and courage on the racetrack. More than anything, he wanted to taste that. As for Dad, he forbade his son from watching him race. A night would start with 20 cars speeding round the track, and by the end, there would be just one car still standing. Drivers often got badly injured in the pile-ups, and sometimes spectators did too, if the cars crashed into the stands.
"It's dangerous, mate,"
said Dad. Gilbert always called his son mate. They were father and son, but best friends too. "But Dad," the boy would plead, as his father tucked him up in bed.
"No buts, mate. I don't want you to see me get hurt."
"But you're the best. You'll never get hurt."
"I said no buts. Now come on, be a good boy. Give us a huggle and go to sleep."
A huggle was what the pair called their special embrace. It was halfway between a hug and a cuddle, hence the name. Dad would always plant a kiss on his son's forehead before he went out to race for the night. As for Frank, he would close his eyes and pretend to be asleep. However, as soon as he heard the door close, he would creep out of bed and crawl down the hallway to the front door so as not to alert his mum. The woman would always shut herself in her bedroom and speak in hushed tones on the telephone whenever her husband was out of the house. Still dressed in his pajamas, the boy would run all the way to the racetrack. Just outside the stadium was a huge tower of rusty old cars that had been smashed up in previous races. Frank would climb to the top of the pile. There he had the best view of the race. The boy would sit cross-legged on the roof of the highest car and watch all the bangers speed by. Every time his father's mini, Queenie, zoomed past, roaring as she went, the boy would cheer, "Go, Dad, go!" Dad had no idea his son was up there. The man barred his son from watching him race because he feared the worst might happen. One night, it did. Chapter 2. Out of Control. The night of the accident, there seemed to be something badly wrong with Dad's car from the start. Instead of the Mini's distinctive roar, today the engine was making a loud grinding noise, as if it was about to explode. As soon as Dad threw Queenie into gear on the start line, the car lurched forward in stops and starts, like a bucking bull. That fateful night, Frank was sitting on top of the pile of cars just outside the stadium, as he always did. It was in the depths of winter, and wind and rain swirled around him. Despite being soaked to the skin, the boy never wanted to miss a race. Something was wrong that night. Very wrong. As soon as the flag waved to start the race, Dad struggled to control his own car. Tonight there was no roar from the Mini's engine, rather that grinding noise. A deathly hush descended on the crowd. Frank felt sick to his stomach. Suddenly, there was a huge explosion from Queenie's exhaust pipe.